Our gospel reading today is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Let us listen for the word of God. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks for having me back. I really enjoy being here with you. This place that you create and continue to create on a weekly basis by coming here with warmth and love and acceptance and inclusivity for everybody who walks in the door is an incredibly beautiful thing. And you see it every week, so you might not realize it, but know that you are each participating in creating something wonderful and beautiful every week. I grew up in a family that kept Sabbath quite rigorously. There was a whole list of things that were okay, behaviors that were okay to do on Sabbath and behaviors that weren't. We didn't do work on Sabbath, as classified by going to your job or mowing the lawn or pulling the weeds, and that was great. I loved not having to do chores on Sabbath. But we didn't watch TV, and that was kind of a bummer, unless it was a nature program, and then it was okay. There was certain music that was okay to listen to on Sabbath, right? If it was Christian music, it was okay to listen to. If it was secular music, it wasn't. If there were no words, it was a little ambiguous, right? But I figured out that you know, Bach was okay and Yanni wasn't. I don't know why. It's just what it was. We weren't allowed to play board games, unfortunately. I really loved playing Monopoly and Stratego and Risk, and we couldn't do those on Sabbath. But we had these board games called Egypt to Canaan. Nobody see? Anyway, as long as it was that. My best friend Justin and I actually invented this game that we called the Protestants versus the Catholics, and it was just Risk, but it's a Sabbath game, Mom. I was in Hawaii for most of my childhood, and we could go tide pooling on Sabbath, but not snorkeling. I don't know why. We couldn't go swimming in swimming pools, but we could go hiking on Sabbath, and so if we went hiking to a waterfall and happened to fall in, that was fine. And guess what we did every Sabbath afternoon? That was actually probably one of the highlights of my childhood is Sabbath afternoons jumping into waterfalls. But I was about 13, and my dad was an avid bird watcher, and so we spent a lot of Sabbath afternoons as a family out traipsing around chasing birds. Bird watching. And I got certified as a scuba diver at 13 or 14, and there was a friend of mine who was a little older, who was a marine biologist over there, and offered to take me out on a Saturday afternoon scuba diving. And I went and asked my parents for permission, and they said, "We're not sure that's an acceptable activity on Sabbath." said, well, Dad, you like to take us bird watching on Sabbath. I'm requesting to go fish watching. Can you explain to me the difference? And they said, have a nice time, son. I tell these stories to illustrate that we as human beings have a strong tendency to classify the world as holy or unholy, to place certain things in categories that are good and other things in categories that are bad. And not only do we do it with music and activities, but we also tend to do it with people, that certain people are good and certain people are bad. We do it with life, that certain things are good and certain things are bad, and we have this strong tendency and push to classify everything and to call some things wonderful and some things horrible. These texts that we just read, I love them. I think they're incredibly profound. And the depth of especially the Isaiah text is in the first sentence. And it's so easy to miss. In the year of King Uzziah's death, this is what sets the stage for, I mean, this is describing an incredible epiphany, right? Probably the most amazing thing that's ever happened to Isaiah in his life. He sees God. I mean, that's kind of the pinnacle of human for any of us, is there anything that could be more incredible than seeing God? A vision of God's glory. These angels declaring, holy, holy, holy. Profound. In the year of King Uzziah's death. In the year of King Uzziah was king of Judah. He was king for 52 years. And while he started out his rule on the right direction, it went really south. Things got horrible. King Uzziah was embroiled in controversy, in scandal. He ended up dying by leprosy that he got when he tried to usurp the position of the priests and take over doing the sacrifices himself. This is a leader embroiled in scandal. The previous two or three chapters of Isaiah are God prophesying that Israel is headed for captivity, for complete collapse of their nation. Everything that matters to them looks like it's going south. It's going from bad to worse. The king dies. Judah is leaderless. In a time where everything seems awful, where God seems to have abandoned them, Isaiah receives a vision of the Lord. In the midst of the worst, God shows up. And these angelic beings are declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The earth is full of his glory. We get really tempted when we look around and see things we don't like, when we see things that are going poorly, when we see things that we would clearly classify as secular, as bad, as wrong, as heading the wrong direction, to start believing that God isn't present. I think this story is so amazing because we get the same vision. We get included in this, that God is maybe most present at those times and in those places where we would think he's absent. That just because things are falling apart or may not be going the way we would expect doesn't mean God isn't there. In fact, this vision, it's kind of a little bit challenging because there was a general idea that God, if he was present at all, it was probably only in the holiest of holy places, right? That God is in the most holy, and only the high priest gets to go in there and see his presence, and only once a year, and he better have been good to do so, or he's going to die. This vision, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the whole earth is full of his glory. All of it. Where is God? He's everywhere. He is in all of these things. That changes our perspective dramatically, right? It challenges it a little bit. We have areas of our own lives that if my body's falling apart, why has God abandoned me? God couldn't possibly be in this. If I lose a job or if I have a loved one who's making horrible choices, God couldn't possibly be in that. Holy, holy, holy
is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory. In fact, I believe this is what holiness means. So the title is Holy, Holy. Because holiness is very much drawing the circle around all of that. That there aren't certain things where God is present and certain things where God isn't present. That all of this, this world, you, your life, the good parts, the bad parts, the tragedies, the successes, those are all this gift of who you are. This gift that God is present in and working through. And if you look back at your life, often the things that seemed like the biggest tragedies were probably places where God was closest and did the most work and transformation of who you are. We are called to be whole, to help make the world whole. In fact, that's what Jesus starts talking to Nicodemus. This text flows because Nicodemus comes to Jesus and asks him, what's important? What is this about? What matters most? And Jesus has this fascinating dialogue with him about how he's got to start over, right? I mean, Nicodemus is somebody who's made it. He's successful. He's reached the pinnacle of leadership in Jerusalem, and he's respected, and he's a teacher. And Jesus says, you've got to be born again. You've got to start. In fact, you can't even see the kingdom of God until you start looking at this life and this world through different eyes. The analogy of the wind is one that just fascinates me. Most of what we have here on earth for climate, weather, terrain, is entirely at the whim of the wind, right? Which doesn't always blow. I mean, in fact, the wind it would seem somewhat random, right? Like, it blows in different directions. Nobody can perfectly I mean, we've gotten actually really good at forecasting what's going to happen with the wind. But the incredible combination of factors going into why it is windy in this place and where this high is and where that low is and how much moisture comes with this storm and how much doesn't. It's not random, but it is so multifactorial that a butterfly beats its wings in Africa and that affects the strength of a typhoon in India. And this is the world God created. And God says that like the wind is something that you absolutely can see the effects of, but it's pretty hard for you to manage. You can't direct where the Spirit is moving you. You can be directed by it, but it's not up to you to strategically plan, write out a 14-point series of action steps and go after. People born and moved by the Spirit of God that is present in all things and in all places will end up doing things that seem somewhat unexplainable, right? That may not always seem to have been pre-planned or make entire sense, and yet God says that's what it's like when we start giving of ourselves to Spirit. We are called to be filled on wind, breath, ruach. It's the word for Spirit. Jesus says that this very presence of God, this life inside us, this divine presence is going to move us. That's what we're after. That's what he's after in us. And he says very much that Jesus, that God is God so loved what? The cosmos. This whole thing. God doesn't just love, cross that out and put your name in it. Everybody's heard that sermon, right? That's true. God loves you. But God, the statement is that God loves this whole thing. God so loved all of this that he gave Jesus to bring all of it back. And you and I, as children of our Father, are invited into this same mission, to be blown by the wind in this incredible presence of God in and around and through all things. The wind doesn't skip stuff, right? The wind goes around and through everything. And we are called to be agents of our Father, children of our Father, in stepping in and bringing life and reconciliation. In fact, instead of dividing everything, the word religion comes from the Latin religio, which really it means to religament, to join things back together. This endeavor we are involved in is very much the process of drawing the circle around all of it and saying this is This is all part of what God is doing in our world. It is whole, and we are called to be holy. We are called to include all of this in the outworking of God's Spirit. I think this is a little bit of what Jesus is after when he tells the parable of the wheat and the tares, and that we as humans have a strong tendency to go in there and start tearing stuff up, right? Maybe even in ourselves. I think that parable very much applies even to my own life, that there's certain parts of me I'm very tempted to go in and start rooting out, and no, that part's bad and should be avoided and denied and repressed. Jesus says, hold on, that's my job. God is very much the one who is the master farmer and knows when and how to separate what needs to be separated. We are called to be gifts, to let the Spirit blow us where the Spirit wills. This weekend is Memorial Day. It's a weekend where we remember those who have laid down their lives for us, who've been willing to give completely of themselves so that we might have a better life. This is how Jesus defined love. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And it's very easy for us to picture that in death, in giving of one's life. But of course, I think that applies very much in life too. That love means being willing to lay down some of our agenda, some of our need to get this done or to sacrifice this person so that we can achieve that end. Love, this celebrating, this is why we resonate with Memorial Days, because we know this is this inherently beautiful and wonderful thing for people to be able to willing to say, I will sacrifice of myself for you. And this is precisely what we are invited into when Jesus says that those born of the Spirit will be moved by the wind in ways that they may not even fully understand. We are called to be people who are willing to lay down our lives for the people around us, to be filled and moved and go where God guides. We can be people who are not tearing apart and splitting and separating, but people who are joining together and healing and encouraging and bringing life and wholeness and peace wherever we go. We can be people of love and compassion and care, making where we are just a little bit more beautiful for our presence there. Amen. Let's stand and sing our hymn, number 461, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.